of God. Appreciate everybody so much. And wow, what a worshipful. I know we've had a lot in the service. So if you'll jump up and just get healed, I won't preach very long. Jump up and get blessed. I'll just, okay, it's enough. It's enough. Kind of like that song we were playing at the wedding. It just, you know, we pay all this money for the best Wi-Fi we can get, and right in the middle of the wedding song, boom, it's over. Okay, thank you, Lord. It was a beautiful song, by the way, from 2 Samuel 24. So excited about these young men. Yeah, I love seeing people get blessed. Don't you? I get blessed seeing people blessed. Sister Michelle, how are you doing? How my little guy's doing? Oh, man. She's raising up an army. I'm telling you what, man. Woo! James, William, Ethan, I mean, that's an army. Not to mention Caitlin, who is their overseer. No. 2 Samuel 24, verse 18. This is a famous story, and it's been a long time since I've come to this story to preach it a little bit. And Gad came that day to David and said unto him, go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor. What a place to put an altar, huh? The threshing floor of Arauna, the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of Gad, he was a prophet, by the way, went up as the Lord commanded. And Arauna looked and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Arauna went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. Ladies and gentlemen, it could be a scary thing in those days when the king came to your house. He had such authority. He had such power. And Arauna said, wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, to buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. There was this judgment, this discipline from God because of some serious national disobedience. Verse 22, and Arauna said unto David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice and threshing instruments and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these things did Arauna as a king give unto the king. And Arauna said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Arauna, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. Isn't that powerful? How long has it been since I've heard somebody preach from this text? So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David, and may I say that if you're going to build an altar, it will cost you something. If it doesn't cost you anything, it probably won't be very powerful in your life. The Bible says, and David, verse 25, built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. I want to, if the Lord would help me, I want to preach to you for a few minutes about the danger of cheap. The danger of cheap. I'd like God to give us a revelation on the dangers of cheap. Would you lift your hands? Lord, we ask you today, we come in humility, Lord. We need you. We need your word. We have felt the power of God here. We have felt your grace here. We have felt your presence. We have rejoiced together. We have thanked you, Lord. We have sung worship and given you honor and reverenced you, Lord. Let's lift our voices up, mine, in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you today for your goodness. Thank you for shining on us. Thank you for being merciful when we didn't deserve it, Lord. Thank you for being merciful when we didn't even deserve it. Oh, praise God, but you blessed us when we didn't deserve that blessing, and you healed us when we didn't deserve the healing. You're a good God. How many of you know He is a good God? You may be seated. If you've been around me much, you know that I love a good deal. My name should have probably been Goldberg or Disraeli or Cohen or Levi or some of the famous Jewish names in our country and in Israel. How many of you ever heard Pastor talk about Dollar Tree? Oh, man. Sometimes I walk around Dollar Tree and I just interact with the customers and I'll say something like, man, I love coming to this store. How many, by the way, let's have a confession, all right? How many of you left Dollar Tree? Everything's a buck or less. Okay. And I'll walk around the customers and I'll go, wow, I love coming here. This place makes me feel like a millionaire. And almost always they'll say something like, yeah, right, man, I mean. I get a little worship going. But at least half a millionaire. You know, the air, I have the air, but not the million. But something about Dollar Tree. Now, I'll leave with bags. I'll leave with stuff. I might not even need it, but because it was a buck. I got to tell you about what happened to me, Stephanie. It's so good to see you. This morning, okay, sometimes I don't want to wake up early. I was talking to Angela about some of the things in the world of nature that you can take to thin your blood so you wake up early, and astaxanthin and on it goes. You know, things that will actually thin your blood so that when you wake up, your blood isn't sluggish. It's thinner and it's circulating and your mind wakes up faster. It's a little key that I use. So I'm up early and I got my coffee at Tim Hortons. What would I do without Tim Hortons? Well, Brother Collins that stood right here was on his deathbed about, 2 years ago? I'll never forget this. And you've heard me talk about it, some of you. He's got this humor that you heard Brother Collins yesterday. He was hilarious. And he's laying on his deathbed. And one eye opens up and he sees I'm standing there. And he goes, Brother Meadows, could you go? He's in the hospital now, okay, dying. Could you go downstairs and get me a Timmy Horton? How do you say no to a request like that? A dying man needs a cup of coffee, you know. Don't. It's just the way that he did it. You know, here he's fighting for his life, and he piped open one eye to ask if he could get a little coffee from Tim Hortons there at Mount Carmel West. So sure enough, I got down there, and he didn't want the rest of his friends and family to know about it because they probably would have denied the request. He knew I'd bring it to him because I love him dearly, and they do too. It's just that they have more discipline with their love. I don't, okay? So anyway, kind of like Sister Gina, you and the grandkids. I mean, what are grandparents famous for? Not for discipline. Send them back for the discipline, but we're going to celebrate because we're with Grammys today. Praise God. So anyhow, I get this coffee, and I said, okay, make it really hot. So they microwave it. It's a bubbling in the cup, you know. And I said, okay, so 3 creamers and 4 raspberry shots after you get it really, really hot. So it'll stay hot long. I'm training them in the fine barista skills that Sister Andriana's skills would. I mean, they're way, she's in another world. You've got to stop and let her make you a bulletproof coffee sometime. How's that for a little advertisement? So I couldn't find. I got pulled over. I got my coffee, and I had a little stevia, and I just run out. So I opened some packets of stevia. I had my liquid stevia all gone, so I used some packets. And I'm looking for a stir, and I think, man, and the spoon that I carried in my briefcase had fallen down in the seat there, and I couldn't see it. And I was wanting to stir, and I didn't want to do it with my finger. You know, it just doesn't seem quite right stirring your coffee with your finger. So, man, I'm thinking I want to get that stevia, you know, sort of circulate in that coffee because this coffee tastes amazing, raspberry and cream and coffee. And so, no, I'll discipline my flesh. I'll just get back on my prayer roads, and I'll drink this coffee. Kind of like Brother Aaron talking about making a sacrifice through his coffee, right? So I got up to Stringtown, and I thought, you know what, I could go buy McDonald's. I could. I could go by McDonald's and get their coffee and get a spoon and get a stir stick. So, but wait a minute. I'm supposed to have my flesh under discipline. Well, I could still stop briefly at Charles. I could stop briefly at McDonald's, you know, and get it. So I'm walking in and I give me a senior coffee. Sometimes I'll go, I know I look like a teeny bopper. I know I do. But if you could give me a senior coffee, love that discount. Oh, praise God. Thank God for discounts. 75 cents should be over $1, but 75 cents for somebody that's in the utter or upper realm of the teenage years. Okay, so I looked around and I thought, well, where are their spoons? And I walked along the counter and I see all these little dispensers, and they used to have spoons all over the place in McDonald's. And where did the spoons go? I couldn't find any spoons. I couldn't find any straws. That was the last straw. I thought, what in the world is going on? Because it was been remodeled, you know. It's nicer and it's a little bit different outlay. Not quite so private, and everybody's kind of sitting in the open these days at McDonald's after their renovations are done. And so finally I walked up to the girl and I said, do you have a spoon? And she pulled out a straw and wanted to know if I'd accept a straw. I said, no, do you have a spoon? So then she reaches down. She knew where they were. They're out of sight. I can't believe this. Now, why can't you believe this? Because I'm dealing with a multi-billion dollar company, one of the most famous in the world, and they've gone cheap. They've gone cheap. So she reaches down where I cannot see what, but she pulls out a spoon. And I'm thinking, you mean a company that's worth over $100 billion has over 36,000 locations in the world, and they've gone cheap, and now we have to beg for a plastic spoon? I wonder what this costs. I don't know if you think we can buy some on the black market. I mean, it's a plastic spoon. Do you know that, some of you know that I'm real sentimental? I save plastic spoons often. Brother Paul, I saw people taking other things out of Culver's one day. You know, they were save a little money. Some of it we love, you know, save those napkins instead of throwing them away, put them in my car. I love it. I'm thinking, Brother Mike, are you telling me that now I have to walk into a McDonald's, one of the largest corporations in the world, and beg for a spoon? McDonald's, you know better than this to go on the cheap. But I could go over to Timmy Hortons and Wendy's, and they have these large black spoons in a little envelope, and I mean, even that come in an envelope. You get the envelope, it's thrown in as a bonus. I guess you could mail them if you wanted to. And you know what? The Lord, you say, I don't know how the Lord talks to you. You say, this is a little crazy. I know it is, but this is how he often talks to me, through little incidents in my days. Why would a multi-billion dollar company all of a sudden put us in a place where we have to beg for a spoon to stir our coffee? Because they're trying to save money, but it's going to cost them favor. Because customers aren't stupid. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you look like you're shocked today that I want to preach about this. She actually pulled out a straw, knowing, see, I couldn't see what she could see. See, what I needed was there, I just couldn't see it. She tried to convince me that a straw would be just fine, when she knew that there was a dispenser away from my eyes and my view that had the spoons. Let me tell you a little something. There is no discounted Pentecost. God didn't go on the cheap to pay for the joy that we have felt in this house. I wish I had some hootenanny out there somewhere. Some of you were dancing. Some of you were dancing. Where'd you get that joy? He paid for it on Calvary. Aren't you glad he didn't ask for a discount? Come on now. We don't have a discounted Calvary. And we don't have a discounted Savior. We don't have a discounted baptizer in the Holy Ghost. It cost him something. Dangers of going cheap. I mentioned this a few days ago, and some of you caught it and some of you didn't. Sometimes we want a full-time God with a part-time consecration. The dangers of going cheap. Some wise person said it like this: when it comes to breaks and brain surgery, don't ask for discounts. Can I add something to that? Thank you. When it comes to eternity, when it comes to forever, when it comes to heaven, is anything too much? Do you realize what we have? Because of the blood of Jesus, we wouldn't have a chance without his blood. We wouldn't have a chance without his sacrifice. He didn't ask for the price to be reduced. He didn't buy it on a bargain basement situation. He paid the full price. Pain, sorrow, embarrassment, and complain not.
I get my car cleaned at Moo Moo. It's such a classy name. And they got all these, they got all this stuff, you know, that like low fat, you know, Moo Moo, like melt from low fat. Low fat, the cheap car wash. So I get this little deal where for $25 a month, I can have as many car washes as I want. I could go in there, and you know, have you had this experience? I washed my car, Pastor, and it rained as I was leaving the car. Anybody have that? I mean, I washed my car, and it started raining before I got to... Anybody, lift your hand if you've had something like that happen to you. I've never seen so much schizophrenic weather in all of my life. So I got this deal where I can drive back later in the day and get another car wash, and it won't cost me anything. Dude, as Ember would say, dude, do you know how exciting that is? I got the cheapest one. Cheapest one. It wouldn't cost me too much, you know, $25. But by accident, sort of by grace, they showed me what they give people that pay for that nicer car wash. Just a few dollars. Look at this. VIP dash wipe. This is after the amazing baptism in wax. You come out of there, you're able to comb your hair. Just looking in the shine on your car when you pay a little extra.
Somebody run up here. Hey, Carlito, run up here. Take a look at this. You can take this
and wipe your dash down. Do you know what they stand there? I'm still not used to this. Hold on to it. Smell. Doesn't that smell good? Man, oh man. I'm wiping my dash, wiping my steering wheel down, wiping the dash, wiping the radio down, wiping the shifter knob down. Just really going to town and do that. I'm mainly almost totally cleaned my car. When I stepped up,
Keep going, Carlito.
Man, we've got to have a little ham here today. Stop. Woo, shine that watch. I drove around every time Sister Lisa, I'm getting ready to go in, and the guy would go, hey,
He's waving this package. And he's got this. Oh, and then he's got. How many of you? I have bought through the years. I have bought these air fresheners. I mean, I bought air fresheners and put them in my car. And I couldn't smell anything but the paper that they were on or under or with. Or I mean, I bought air fresheners for years for my cars. And none of them ever really smelled once I got them out of the package. They just nosedived. They just bombed when I put them on my mirror. I pulled out. Come on, brother. Carlito, open that up for me. Would you take those strong, powerful fingers and just open that up? And I know you can probably do it in seconds. And hey, man, I'm going to do this someday with some of you guys that think you're He-Man. I'm going to give you a bag of Fritos or something and see how long it takes. They build these things, these products. Now smell that. Smell that. Dude, can you smell that? Now watch this. Hold this mic, Carlito. I noticed something. I noticed that when I press this, it I thought in my mind, I thought, I can't wait till my wife gets in this car. She's got a nose like a German Shepherd. I'm telling you what she does. And if I wear a new cologne, hallelujah, one of my treats is to get her to say something. Well, what do you got on now, Jack? Boy, it smells like a train wreck. Where'd you get that stuff? Anyway, so anyhow, I pressed it. And you know, when you press it like that and put it under pressure, put a little pressure on it, it squeezes that scent out. Isn't that cool? You want to call anybody else out that'll verify this in the mouth of two or three witnesses? Come on, Andrew. Noah, come on, check it out. Doesn't that smell good? But you see, I could have been getting one of these every time. I get a car wash several times a week because it's only about $5, or actually less than that when I get several more, so it's down to about $2 or $3. So this would come out to only a little over a dollar more per car wash, but I get the air freshener, I get the, oh my lands, the wipe. And I get, I carry towels to wipe my car down, right? I get this. There's no extra charge. They won't let me go in. Oh, my, look at this. Can we separate this? Oh, look at this. Look at this. Well, you can do the running of the balls. I mean, all because I pay a little over a dollar more. You know what sometimes we do when we live for God? What's the cheapest rate, Lord? What's the bottom basement price? How can I be on the booster list and give the smallest amount? And God wants to show you that just a little more faith, just a little more worship, just a little more prayer, just a little more sincerity. Just let's lift our hands in praise, my God. He's a worthy God. He's a worthy God. He's a worthy God. He's worthy. Give Carlito a hand of appreciation, man. I got to have him help me again. Wow. That was awesome, man. You preach with a preacher, Juan. You do, man. You're fun. Dude, that's awesome. As I was praying about these thoughts, I thought about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German pastor who opposed the Nazis. He came out, he wrote a book that he's famous for. It's become one of the American classics, and it's called The Cost of Discipleship. He withstood the Nazis openly. He spoke against them. He preached against them. He was known for his staunch resistance to their dictatorship and also vocal opposition to Hitler's euthanasia program and genocidal persecution of the Jews. Can you even fathom how scary it was to go against the Nazi machine? Can you even fathom what that meant in those days? It was a scary, scary deal. They finally, on trumped up charges, arrested him. Put him in what's called the Tegel prison for 1.5 years. And then they moved him from there to the concentration camp. And he was hung by the Nazis on the 9th day of April, 1945, just a little bit before the war ended. But I want you to hear what he had to say about an expression that I thought he invented. He didn't invent it. He heard this phrase in America. He was teaching Sunday school in America, and he could have stayed here and watched what happened to his country from afar. But he knew they needed him. They needed his courage, and they needed his backbone, his people, and his church. This is what he said about cheap grace. He said, cheap grace is the grace we bestow on ourselves. Yeah. Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance. Baptism without church discipline. Communion without confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship. Grace without the cross. Grace without Jesus Christ living and incarnate. And I want to tell you something. This joy that we have here, it costs somebody something. Lift your hands and let's honor him today. Praise God. As our musician comes, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you not to settle for something less than what he has for you. Because he has a joy. He has a joy for you that will come even out of your suffering and out of the battles and out of the war zone of your life. If you will be all that you can be and get on this altar and let him know, I want to serve you with a full heart. I don't want to serve you with a divided heart or a partial heart or just a small piece of me. The dangers of cheap is that's exactly the way the enemy would have us think and talk and live. And it opens the door. It opens the door for minefields, for temptations, for failures. David said, that looks like a really good bargain. I mean, in so many words, and we translate them into 21st century language. It would be nice to get the sacrifice free and all the threshing instruments, but no. I'm not going to do that. I know enough about this God. What was David famous for? Worship. Open up your Psalms and see what kind of a worshiper David was. He understood something about the Lord. I don't want to give him something cheap. I don't want to give him something that didn't cost me anything. I don't want to serve God on the cheap. I don't think, I'll believe this to my dying day, I don't want to have to walk into a McDonald's and beg for a plastic spoon. Dude, really? Come on now. How many billions do you generate every year? And I'm supposed to beg you? I go to these guys always. These guys have the gift of hospitality. And when I get over there, man, they have more food in that house. They have this army of munchkins. And now they've grown up, so they're tall munchkins. When you're over 100, everybody seems like a munchkin. And eat and this and then cook and then, you know. You almost have to pray for God to heal you when you get done eating everything they lay out before you. I don't want to have to walk into a McDonald's and beg for a plastic spoon. And I'm going to tell you something else. When I walk into a church like this, I want to meet the real God. I want to meet the whole God, not just a piece of Jesus. I want his power. I want his healing. I want to see people healed by the power of God, but he can't do the work that he wants to do if you're living for him on the cheap. There are benefits. Come on now. There are benefits. I wish somebody would run down here and take this and walk around and thank God for the benefits. There's a covering that comes when we get under the blood and we say, Lord, I'm not going to serve you. Squeeze that. Put pressure on that. There's a fragrance like the rose of Sharon, like some clean scent that comes out. Hallelujah. Comes out when we live for God and we're willing to go all the way to put ourselves on the altar, not holding anything back, not compromising, not arbitrating, not convincing someone that we can't give our all. Oh no. It's got to cost me something. Yeah, it's got to cost me something. David said, I refuse. I will not give to God something that did not cost me anything. He revealed something about the heart of God. What does he talk about? The sacrifice of praise. We understand about the sacrifice of praise in this house. Yeah, it cost us something. Early practices and energies poured out and consecrations made to be up on this platform. Oh my, what is that called? Oh, I refuse to give to God stuff that didn't cost me anything. I wish you could walk in these aisles. I wish you could make a commitment to God today, because he wants to show you his power. He wants to show you his grace. He can't anoint nothing. He can't do much with nothing. But when we lay ourselves on the altar with no reservations and no needed explanations, and we say, I am yours. I am owned, lock, stock, and barrel by you. You are it. You're my sunshine. You're the song in the middle of the night. Oh yeah. You're my stars. When the sky is dark, you're my stars. Bright and morning star, righteous branch, captain of my salvation, the Ancient of Days, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, my healer, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, my banner. Come on now, Jesus, I want you to be everything. And he says, all right, come on, for just a little bit more. What does the Bible say? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Watch this. And forget not all his benefits. Did you hear that? Forget not all his benefits. When you bless him with all of your soul, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul. What's he say to do for us? He says in his word, who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? I wish somebody could get happy in God today. Who healeth all thy diseases? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? I refuse to live for God on the cheap. Woo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. No tiny praise. No tiny praise. No baptism without repentance. Oh no. Oh yeah. We want a full-time God on a part-time consecration. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Jesus. He is 24/7. It's not just a piece of deity. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians 2:9. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Who? Full. Don't serve him part-time. Don't serve him just a little. Don't love him just a mite. Yeah. I remember when I was the age of some of these kids. I know they're young adults, but I kind of like calling them kids, because sometimes I get called a kid or a boy and I want to give people a $20 bill for the compliment. I remember the driver's training, that, you know, guy that you had to ride with to get your license. He was teaching us stuff, and he was kind of a nervous wreck. But I remember, you know, we'd pull over and park, and then you have to use the emergency brake. And he made a big deal about emergency brake. So I pulled over, put the emergency brake on. Of course, he's saying things at me, and I'm looking for traffic, and he's saying things at me, and I'm looking. And so finally, I pulled out, and I left the brake on. And this light comes on the thing. Emergency brake. That red, it glows in the dark. He said, I see it. I'm driving with the brake on. What's so weird about that? That's what you've been doing. Driving with the brakes on. Lord, I only go so far. I'm only going to go so fast. I'm going to keep the brake on just for a little security. No, he wants you to take the brakes off. He wants you to take the brakes off. Come on now. Lift your hands and hearts for a little bit here. Lord Jesus, as Brother Thad sings, oh God, you are so good to give us expensive grace, not cheap grace, expensive grace, expensive love.
Surrendering all. Oh,
he will help you. He'll add some benefits. Amen. And sometimes it's pressure that releases the fragrance. Praise God. He'll hang something in your life that'll have a fragrance that will remind you that he's called the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valley. Oh, praise God. Oh, but it's easy. Let somebody pay for the sacrifice. Let somebody foot the bill. I surrender. You feel that? Listen to this. We had one of those young preachers, one of our dynamic preachers, preached at camp when Brother Stark was giving his keynote speech, and he put up Benny. And Brother Benny is like one of our youth leaders in the section. He can preach like an angel. And he got to talking about the colors. And he referred to a scripture. Say not ye there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white. They are white. He said white, not green, not blue. They are white, already to harvest. I never thought of this. He said if you tried to reap them right now, this was a couple weeks ago. He said you'd get all, your machinery get all gummed up and everything. It's green now, sort of green. But he said, the scripture said white, already to harvest. He said white is the color of surrender. And then I thought, well, where you got that? Then I thought, oh, yeah, when somebody's given up, you know, two armies, and somebody's given up, they hoist the white flag. That's the color of the harvest. We only reach the harvest when we're surrendered. Lift those hands again like a white flag to Jesus. Oh, God. I want you, Lord. I want to reach people. I want to touch people. And God, oh God, I don't want you on the cheap. I don't want life on the cheap. I don't want cheap power, cheap mercy, cheap forgiveness. I want the real thing, the real product that comes with all the benefits. Oh, I love you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. Shine on us, Lord. Shine on us. Help us, Lord. Jesus.
I will love you, Lord. I will love you, Lord. I surrender. I want to know.